produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Well, hello to all the listeners. It's my pleasure to be sending you greetings. Warm greetings from South Africa. It's pretty warm over here. I know it's a little bit cold over there, but it's a privilege and a pleasure to be able to share with you today. And today I wanted to share on the subject matter of relationships. If you're out there, I want you to say the word relationships with me. So relationships are very important to us. God never meant for us to live isolated lives, but he has given us destiny helpers, and he has created us as people who must relate with one another. And one of the things that will make us win is when we come together in unity, come together as a team, whether it's in ministry, whether it's as a family, however it is. But unity is a powerful weapon to ensure victory on our behalf. And one of the things that I've seen in this season is that relationships are being very, very negatively impacted. As a pastor, and I'm sure there's so many pastors out there, men and women of God, who are experiencing the same thing. Relationships are under a great attack in this season. I don't think in my few 35 years of ministry, I can ever say that I've had to do as much counseling as I have had to do in this season. People are coming out and, just offending one another, attacking one another. There's a great deal of hostility out there. There's a great deal of anger. There's a great deal of emotionalism and a lot of hatred out there. And it is impacting on relationships, on marital relationships, on friendships, on relationships within the body of Christ. And so today, I really wanted to talk about relationships and talk about how are we supposed to act and how are we to handle the attack that is on relationships in this season. One of the scriptures I love the most is 1 Corinthians 12, verse 32, and it talks about the sons of Issachar and the fact that they knew the season, and not only did they know the season, but they knew how to respond. They had a strategy for responding. So they knew the season, and they knew what strategy to employ or to deploy. And so we're going to talk a little bit about what's happening in this season and why it's happening and how to respond in this season to protect our relationships and to make sure that we fulfill our purpose and mandate in God. Because there's no way that we will fulfill purpose as a single, isolated human being. We need one another, we need each other, and God has ordained relationships. The first thing I wanted to talk about is coming from the scripture, John 10:10. And this sets out not only the mandate of the devil, but it sets out the mandate of Jesus. And we know that this scripture tells us that Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, in complete direct opposite, in the same scripture, John 10:10, we learn that the devil has a mandate as well. And his mandate is to steal, his mandate is to kill, and his mandate is to destroy. And so we need to first and foremost understand that this is his job description, it's his mandate, to steal, kill, and destroy. And one of the ways that he will effectively be able to fulfill his own mandate is through stealing, killing, and damaging relationships. So he's disrupting the unity of families. He's disrupting unity in ministries, within the church environment. And as he does that within the work environment, the more he can disrupt that unity by bringing suspicion, bringing deception, the more he can do that, the easier it makes his own job. So he really is going all out to steal relationships, to kill them, to destroy relationships. I believe that some of you out there may have probably, you know, broken relationships. There's some relationships out there that that you feel, you know, maybe the enemy has come in between just to now start destroying and stealing it and just really impacting negatively. Well, we're going to pray for relationships at this end. And any relationship that God has ordained, we're going to pray that God will bring it back together. Amen. Also, I wanted us to know that one of the things, as we were saying, the enemy uses relationships. He's destroying, attacking relationships as never before, sending out arrows out there to make sure that the unity in the families and within the body of Christ is destroyed, so that it will be so much more challenging for us to fulfill the mandate of the body of Christ. Now, we know that God tells us that we don't use the weapons of the world to fight. In fact, we are told that we have been given weapons that will pull down every stronghold of human reasoning and destroy every false argument. One of the greatest weapons that the enemy is using, the devil is using in this season, is the weapon of deception and false accusation. Concerning deception, we know that the devil himself is surrounded by deception. That is his modus operandi, his main way of operating. If you read scripture, it tells us that he walks around and walks about as a roaring lion. He's not really a lion, but he uses deception to create the impression that he is a roaring lion. And he will always try to counterfeit the image of Christ. We know that Christ is the real lion. He's described as the Lion of Judah. So the best that the devil can do is to counterfeit the image of Christ. He's not a lion, but he tries to be like a lion. He tries to enlarge himself, his appearance, his power, his capacity, and make it look like he's a lion when he's not. So he's very deceptive in that. He also tries to disguise himself as an angel of light. We know that he's no longer an angel. He was previously an angel, but now he represents the kingdom of darkness. But he now tries to deceive many of us by manifesting himself as an angel of light. So deception is part of who the devil is. It goes to his very core. It's his modus operandi. And as believers, we need to understand this, that he will be bringing every level of deception to try to confuse us, to try to derail us, to try to deny us, to try to do all sorts of things, take us out of mandate. And in John 8:44, again, if you read that scripture, it tells us that there is no truth in him. There's no truth in the devil. And it says that when he's lying, in fact, lies are his original language. That's what comes naturally to him. Most of us would have a mother tongue, and I would like to actually put it out there that lying is the mother tongue of the devil. And it, even that scripture describes him as a liar and the father of lies. So he is the originator of all lies. So I think we're now getting a little picture about who the devil is. He is deception himself, and he uses lies as a way of deceiving us, deceiving people in the world, deceiving members of the body of Christ even. And he uses also false accusation is another key weapon that he uses to try to derail and confuse us and take us out of our key mandate. We also learn that the devil is an accuser of the brethren. Revelation 12:10 describes him as the accuser of our brothers and sisters, and he accuses us day and night. That is his mandate. Every time you and I wake up, we need to understand this. As we wake up, He is looking for an opportunity. He is looking for some reason to be able to accuse us falsely. When we understand this, it's easier for us to respond unemotionally. And the challenge that many of us are having is that when we receive false accusation or when we're confronted with false accusation, we immediately want to respond emotionally. So we don't need to respond emotionally, respond spiritually. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not carnal, but they're mighty in God, through God, to the pulling down of strongholds of every false argument that is raised against you. You don't respond by throwing stones. When the men that David was with, King David was with his men, wanted to stone him, he didn't respond by picking up stones and stoning them back. But it says that after a little bit of a moment of crying, he encouraged himself in the Lord. So what we need to do is not to respond in the same manner. I think we're getting a little bit of a picture around the season, what is happening. I believe in many nations, God is beginning to bring revival in many nations. I know in the southern Africa. And so the question arises to say, what do we do in this time, in this season, where the enemy is attacking relationships, he's attacking marriages, he's attacking relationships between parents and children, he's attacking relationships at work, he's attacking relationships in the body of Christ. You see that churches and assemblies are struggling to, flow and to survive because there's so much false accusation, there's so many arguments, there's suspicion, people are suspicious of one another. There's a whole range of things that are happening. I'm having to counsel people regularly, even pastors and ministers of the gospel, where there's lack of trust, suspicion, and all this because the enemy is throwing out deception and false accusation, lies. The lying spirit is out there. What do we do when we face this? The first thing I want us to know is that we must be aware of it. We must know that this is what's happening. And it's happening because in many nations, revival is about to break forth. And the enemy knows that one way of trying to delay or derail revival is to disturb the unity, because it was in Acts, and when they were in the upper room, that they were in one place, in one accord, in one language, waiting upon God. Unity is what draws the power and presence of God. Even in Psalms 133, it talks about unity and says that is where he not only commands the blessing, but where he releases his anointing. And so by disrupting that unity, the enemy knows that this is one way of ensuring that revival is either delayed or deterred. But in Jesus' name, we declare that we will be united as the body of Christ. Relationships will be restored. Relationships will be revived. Relationships will be resurrected in the name of Jesus. And so I just want to share again with you to say, what do you do if you're in a family situation and you see that the relationship is being shaken and has been disturbed and the enemy has brought all that he can to kill that relationship? First thing I want to say to you is don't react. You must respond. Do not react. And by reacting, I'm saying don't react in an emotional way. Don't allow your flesh to react. If somebody accuses you of something, if somebody is suspicious of you, or if somebody is provoking you, do not react in the flesh, but respond in the spirit. Galatians 5:22 tells us that the fruit of the spirit must be in us. And so the fruit that is described there in Galatians 5:22 and 23 talks about the need for us to have love, to have joy, to have peace, to have self-control is one of the very, very important fruit of the Spirit that we must inculcate in this season. So ask God to help give you self-control, kindness, peace, all of those things. Meditate on his word day and night. As you read his word first thing in the morning, that word, and speak that word, and speak Galatians 5:22-23 in you and confess it, that will begin to build the fruit in you. And as you begin to pray and worship God, the presence of God, staying in the presence of God, is what will ensure that the Spirit of God is built up in us And when you have the Spirit of God, you will manifest the fruit of the Spirit as well. So point number one, do not react, respond. Point number two, I want to encourage us to cross-check facts. I went to law school. I'm a trained lawyer, and, we like facts. So please don't believe everything that you're told. Don't rush to believe everything that you've been told. Some things are factually incorrect, or some things may be factually correct but taken out of context. So cross-check facts, and also still be alert, be vigilant in the spiritual realm. Third thing we need to do is respond in prayer. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 to 18, we are instructed to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, and to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So remain prayerful, and as you remain prayerful, you will be able to rejoice always, and you will also be able to give thanks. It's prayer that will enable us to be joyful, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. So when we are joyful, we get strength as well. And the fourth thing I would like to ask us to do, as we said, don't react. And so the last point I want to make in terms of how do we respond in this hostile environment is to say that pray as you pray, also ask Holy Spirit to reveal the truth to you. One of the key characteristics of Holy Spirit, he is a truth revealer. So as the enemy tries to bring in deception in your life, in your family, in your relationships, as he tries to falsely accuse you or any members of your family, pray and ask Holy Spirit to reveal the truth. He is the truth himself, and he's faithful to open up the eyes of our understanding to the truth. And so as we close out this session, I want to thank you, all you listeners, for listening to this girl all the way from South Africa. God bless you, and I just want to close out by praying and just saying, Father, we thank you for every relationship. And every relationship that has been ordained by you, Father, we thank you that no weapon that is formed or fashioned against any relationship consecrated and ordained by you shall prosper in the name of Jesus. We submit every relationship before you and thank you that you protect it. Thank you for covenant relationships. Thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus that speaks better things, even on behalf of those relationships in the name of Jesus. We thank you for protection. Psalms 91, protection, we speak that protection over every relationship. Thank you for the shalom, peace, and wellness, Father, of who you are, to be released in families, in work relationships, in the body of Christ. And we thank you for shalom, peace. We walk in peace, we move in peace, we talk in peace, we work in peace, we worship in peace. And we thank you that you are Jehovah Shalom, God of peace. We bless you and give you the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Matthew 17 and verse 21. Matthew 17 and verse 21. Matthew 17, the 21st verse. Oh, Jesus, we love you, Lord. Chapter 17 and verse 21. Let's see that one together. Matthew 17 and verse 21. And after we finish that, I want us to look at Acts chapter 12. Let's read all of us together as much as we can. Loud voices to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords as read the word in the atmosphere. One, two, go. However, this kind does not go out except... Let's repeat that once again, if we will, to go. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. So I want to share, therefore, with that element, that this kind, we are dealing with this time in Australia, does not go out by prayer and fasting. This kind that we're dealing with in the whole world globally right now does not go out by anything but by prayer and fasting. And therefore, I want you to concentrate with us and let's see what God wants to build in the spirit as we work out these few concepts in Jesus' name. However, this kind does not go except by prayer and fasting. There is power in prayer and fasting. There is power in prayer and fasting. I said there is power in prayer and fasting. And because the Lord Jesus Christ was addressing a situation in Matthew chapter 17, that starts off by telling us a young boy that was demonized. And the Bible tells us that the disciples have tried to cast out that demonic spirit and they could not. And Jesus, therefore, in answer to their question, how come we could not cast out that spirit? And Jesus, in response, he said to them, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. And I'm sure you agree with me, ladies and gentlemen, that the coronavirus that we are talking about now globally, it is a virus that will not go except by prayer and fasting. There is a place where you and I need to understand what God wants to do in our lives as God's children, so that we are not controlled by fear, but that we will be controlled by faith. It says in Timothy 1 and verse 6, for God has not given to us the spirit of fear, but of love. All right. Of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And the other version says, of self-control. Yeah. Such times like this, you need to require discipline. Yeah. But you cannot be disciplined if you do not know what you believe in. Somebody said, your world is a reflection of your inward or your inner self. What that means is, what you are outside is a reflection of what you are inside. In other words, the way I relate with you from outside is only a picture and an expression of what I already am inside. Amen. If I think I'm a failure, there is no way I can shout outside I'm victorious. I might shout that with my mouth I'm victorious, but if I think of myself like a midget and like a locust, a grasshopper, that's how exactly that will come out. Your world is a reflection of how you view yourself. If you view yourself as a weakling, if you view yourself as a nobody, it will soon express itself outside. So when I walk outside, what I express to people, it is really a picture of how I view myself inwardly. So my prayer is, the Jesus that we have received, let him speak up for himself. What we have received is not religion. We have received Jesus. Christ in us is the hope of glory. Am I talking to somebody? Christ in us is the hope. He's the hope for fear. He's the hope for depression. He's the hope for every attack that will face against the world. Christ in me is the hope that makes me wake up every day unperturbed and unhindered by anything, knowing very well that He is alive and that Christ is in me. Somebody shout glory. The greater one who is in you is the one that rules and reigns in the outside world. Somebody has went on to say that your world is not only a reflection of your inner man, but it's also a reflection of what you know. Because if you understand, the knowledge you possess as a child of God will either make you to walk in victory or in fear. The Bible says, they that know their God. Daniel 11 and verse 32. The people that do know their God, not the people that know religion, not the people that know church, not the people that go to church, but the people that do know their God, watch, shall be strong.
Amen.
And they shall do exploits. I am looking for spiritual fighters in destiny. Men and women that will not take no for an answer because they know what the word of God says. If the word of God is declared, no weapon. He did not say except coronavirus. No weapon. Talk to me, somebody. If our God is alive, then God's people, let's get ready to fight. Let's get ready to fight. And fight it until you get your breakthrough. And therefore, that's the burden of my heart from the past week when I was in prayer. And I
will manifest himself stronger, that the church of Jesus Christ should rise up. I keep thinking about it, and I'm thinking the virus comes out of China. It is in China that is communist country. It is in China where the church of Jesus Christ has been running underground. And I'm thinking, you and I have got the freedom of worshiping God. We are not in bondage. The government does not stop you to talk about your Jesus. Yet we are walking very like a Jessica. It seems almost as if, oh, it should go right, mate. The devil is a liar. I believe there is a call in Australia for the true church of Jesus Christ to rise up like never before and begin to declare warfare to the devil. Somebody shout yes. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Amen.
However, there is a kind that will not go.
It won't listen to philosophies. It won't listen to the vaccine language. It won't listen to the medical reports.
No,
that's right. So I will find out that there is a lot that goes on flying around on social media.
Yeah, that's right.
And some of it are just speculations of people. Wake up in the morning and think they had a dream. Or attend this and attend that, it's going to work. The devil is a liar. Prayer and fasting. There is a kind that will not go. But the prayer and fasting.
Amen.
Someone shall glory.
Watch that. Jesus says, however, there is a kind. That is the kind. Lord, we want you to reveal to us the kind that will not go but by prayer and fasting. And I believe that's where we are as God's people. I want to zero in Acts chapter 12. There's a story there that I want you to see from verse 1. Acts 12 and verse 1. Let's go there in Jesus' name. I want us to read once again, all of us together. One, two, go. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some of the church. Keep going with me. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with his sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. For so when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after the Passover. And I wanted to understand when he was intending to bring Peter after the Passover, because when he killed James, one of the apostles, he realized there's a sect of the Jewish people that were happy about it, and therefore he was going to go and take out Peter that very night that he will be delivered. In the morning, Herod was preparing himself that when Peter is out, I'll make sure he's killed as well. Listen to the next verse, which is verse 5. True God. Verse 5. Kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. I wanted to repeat that statement, but constant prayer. True God. But constant prayer. Repeat it again, but constant prayer. But constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Let's keep going, verse 6. And when Herod was about to bring him out, watch that. That night, Peter was sleeping, bound with the two chains between two soldiers. And the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Keep going. Now behold, an angel.
And a light shone in the prison.
Mm-hmm.
And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And his chains fell off his hands.
Verse 8. Then the angel said to him, get yourself tied on your sandals. So he did. And he said to him, put on your garment and follow me. So he went out and followed him, and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they passed the first, second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the sea, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. Somebody shout amen. I wanted to catch the verse that we read that says, but constant prayer.
But constant prayer was offered by the church for Peter to be released. But constant prayer, that tells you that prayer that sees results for you and I. It is prayer where you and I do not give up after the first prayer, after the second prayer. Constant prayer was being meant by the church as they were praying for Peter's release. Even at that time, at the 11th hour, when Herod was going to bring him out, make sure that he's killed, that night the church continued to pray. Oftentimes, I believe we give up too soon in our prayer life. Oftentimes, as we walk with God, we pray once and we expect the results. We pray once and we wonder, why is God not coming through? But I believe it's a season of prayer. Jesus has already told us there is a kind that will not go except by prayer and fasting. So Jesus, before he encountered the demoniacs in his life, you find out there is a history and experience of him spending time alone with his Father in prayer. Mark 1 verse 35, he was alone on the mountains talking to God in prayer, such that the more time he spent alone with his Father, when he came down to ground zero or to the earthly realm, or when he came down to the to walk in the villages, he operated in power and he operated in higher authority. Because there is a kind, ladies and gentlemen, that will not go except by prayer and fasting. Now what we are reading tonight in Acts chapter 12, it's another example that you and I believe is very imperative and it's important that we catch as God's people. Let me talk a little bit about the Herods, because quite often times people have asked me how many Herods were there. Which Herod is this? Are we talking about? There were about 5 or 6 Herods in that time. But I want you to realize that at age 33, the Grecian or the Greek the Greek nation had been divided into four territories. And there was, as we find in that area, about 400 years after the book of Malachi, you'll find out the Bible tells us those were silent years. And then in Matthew, you realize there is a king that's going to come out, one general that was over the Palestinian region. And that gentleman had the name Antiochus. Antiochus Epiphany. He was ruling in that land over the Jewish people as he was put there by the Romans. And as was reigning in that time, he was a very cruel, cruel man. So cruel he was that he wanted to appease the Romans. And therefore, as you know, that among the Jewish people, they do not eat a pig, right? But then he was so cruel in his time, this Antiochus, that he killed a pig. And he sacrificed the pig in the Holy of Holies, the temple of Jehovah God, as a mockery to the Jewish people. He was that cruel. And in that cruelty, after he came to pass, then the Romans were now in charge of Jerusalem. And during the time of the Romans, when they took over against Jerusalem and amongst the Jewish people were crying to God for a release. That is why you realize that when Jesus was born, they thought Jesus was going to come as a political liberator. Come with me, walk with me. And I find out that there's the first Herod that is going to come up in the picture. And I don't have them in their order per se. But I wanted to realize there will be Herods. But I wanted to understand who are the Herods. Because this is connected to what I want us to pray for and pray about tonight. The Herods were coming from the Edomites. Who were the Edomites? The Edomites were coming from the hand of Esau. You remember what was Esau? Esau was that guy who allowed when Jacob sold his birthright and Esau took over. And I wanted to understand that therefore whenever you saw the Edomites, they were known for cannibalism. They were eating people. They were cruel, cruel, a bunch of cruel family. But when they come up into the rule in the Roman Empire, the Romans would use them so that they would do whatever they wanted them to do. So you have one of the Herods there that comes up. And this Herod, when he came up, was called Herod the King. When he rose up in his time over the Jewish people, he built the Jewish a temple. And when he built them a temple, the idea was to find favor with the Jewish people, even though he was not coming from the royalty of the Judah. Because you know that kings were coming out of the tribe of Judah. But Herod, the king that rose up as one of the Herods, was not coming out of the Judah family. He was a distant family and relative coming from the Edomites. Now when he comes up,
He did not fear God. He was just a puppet used by the Romans. And as you follow with me right now, I want you to realize there came a time when the Jewish people were crying to God because the evil nature of this Herod came quite clearly. When he realized that maybe I'll gain favor from the Jewish people if I build them a temple. He built them a temple, but still the evil of his heart continued to grow. And in that cruelty, when he was looking what was happening among the Jewish people, he handed over his power to his son, and he was called Herod the Great. Herod the Great, when he comes up into focus, he has taken over from his father, Herod the King. And when he comes into place, he is so bad, this Herod, that you know during the time when Jesus was born, the wise men went by, if you remember the story, and he then instructed in the whole of Jerusalem that all baby boys must be killed. And when they were killed, all he wanted was to amass himself a lot of power and authority. But not only was he that cruel and that evil, he then became insecure in his rulership to such an extent that he then started to take three of his sons. Because three of his sons were now saying, Papa, it's time for you to go. And he took his sons and he killed them publicly by hanging them. He became so cruel and ruled by avarice and greed. He told himself, there is no any other Herod but me. And as he continued with that cruelty over the Jewish people, all this time they are crying to Jehovah God. And in this moment of time when things are happening in this amount of cruelty, he took his own brother-in-law, drowned him publicly because he thought his brother wanted to destroy him. He took his own wife, Mary Jane. And when he took his wife, he said to his wife, I love you, but never should you ridicule me publicly. And he strangled his wife publicly. He was so bad and cruel that the whole of Jerusalem were afraid of him. But as it were, I want you to understand that as these timelines are going on, the church of Jesus Christ was waiting for God to intervene on their behalf. After this Herod the Great, there would come another Herod. And one of the Herods was called Herod the Tetrarch or the Fox. This is the one that rose up and rose up in power. This guy was just full of greed in his life. Everything that he would do, he would not do anything but for money. And as he continued to rise up, Rome by that time was having authority even against the children of Israel. And as they cried to God for God to deliver them, they did not know how were they going to be delivered. After Herod the Great, you find out there is another Herod that comes up. And this Herod was called Herod Achillas. Herod Achillas, because of misrule, Augustus Caesar took him and took him out of his office. He never stayed in time. He was banished. After him, we see there is another Herod that comes into place. And that was called Herod Agrippa. When Herod Agrippa came into focus, you remember Herod Agrippa was the one, or Antipas, the one that when Paul, he said to Paul, perform for me a miracle so that I can see. And actually he said to Paul, I am so persuaded that you almost made me to become a Christian. This Herod was evil in his time. But I want you to introduce you to this last Herod I am talking about. This Herod that comes up, he comes out as Herod the Terrible. Herod the Terrible is the one that had taken James and he killed James publicly. By that time, the church of Jesus Christ, they did not have a temple to meet in. The Bible says they were meeting from house to house. In Acts chapter 2, you find out when the Bible says they increased in prayer and in fellowship. And the more they prayed, in Acts chapter 3, you find out there is a man that is healed that was paralyzed. And that man was healed at the gate called Beautiful. Peter and John were arrested and they were taken by the Sanhedrin. And after they were beaten and persecuted, they were released. But then they were told, you shall never mention anything about this name called Jesus. But Peter stood up and declared, we cannot stop but declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. They went back to their very own company. And the Bible says where they were praying, the ground they were standing in Acts chapter 4, was shaken. That opens up in telling you Acts chapter 5. In Acts chapter 5, the church continued to pray. And because of the power of prayer, you are told about a couple, Ananias and Sapphira. You know the story? Ananias and Sapphira, when they brought in their goods, after they had sold their goods out there, the Bible tells us because of lies and deceit, they died because the church of Jesus Christ, they were carrying in the fear of God. They were bold in whatever they believed. They were courageous in their beliefs. And they knew that nothing could stop them. In Acts chapter 6 and Acts chapter 7, you know there's a commotion that comes up. The Greeks and the Jewish and the people of the Jewish women, they were now arguing over food. And they set again up for them a committee, an administrative arm that would begin to manage the affairs for the apostles to continue to preach the gospel. In chapter 7, we are told about the stoning of Stephen. Stephen draws up and begins to declare, "This is the Jesus we are talking about. Your forefathers killed him, took him and arrested him, but on the third day, this same Jesus rose up in power and in authority." And the Jewish people that were there and the religious leaders, they picked up stones and they started stoning Stephen. But here's what I want you to realize. Whenever the church of Jesus Christ is under great persecution, God's hand is always manifested in a greater measure. They stoned him, and when they stoned him, it is in those moments when he's about to die, the Bible tells us that he looked up and he saw Jesus standing on the throne. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to say to us, there is power in prayer. When the church of Jesus Christ takes their position and they begin to learn how to engage with God in prayer, there is a place, ladies and gentlemen, where God introduces you to a kind that will not go by anything else but by prayer and fasting. Am I talking to somebody? Now, by the time we see, when we come now to Acts chapter 12, the church of Jesus Christ has already known that they have got in their midst a weapon of mass destruction, which was prayer. They prayed in Acts chapter 2. They saw the results. They prayed more in Acts chapter 3. They saw the results of prayer. They prayed in Acts chapter 4. They saw the results of prayer. They prayed in Acts chapter 5. They saw the results of prayer. Chapter 6, chapter 7. They prayed all the more and they saw the effects of prayer. Chapter 8, chapter 9. They prayed all the more. It's not because it was a perfect church. They had their own issues. But there's one thing they believed in. They believed in a God who answered prayer. What am I saying tonight? I am calling you back to make sure you get yourself ready, your spiritual antennas to be prepared to learn that what is upon us right now, called coronavirus, it can only listen to one thing, because this is spiritual, ladies and gentlemen. It can be explained in whatever way, but I want you to understand that the position of the church of Jesus Christ, they need to understand there is a kind that will not go by anything else but by prayer and fasting. Somebody shout glory. So where we are now in Acts chapter 12, the church is praying. And here is the verse that touches me. Constant prayer was made.